That is his blade. I know that sword. It is Sacramentum. You lie. You lie. Kaon would never allow himself to be captured. You lie. You lie. You breathe lies. You lie. My brother would flense your souls, wither them, peel them from your bodies. Kaon is not here. You could never capture him. He cannot be here. He would come for me. He would carve your souls from your bones. He would save me. Kaon. 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 Please, Kaon. From the Infinity Canticle, sequestered by the Holy Order of His Imperial Majesty's Inquisition as an Ultima-grade moral threat, purported to be the unedited raving confession of Sargon Eregesh, Lord Prelate of the Black Legion. Terror. We are free. Free of our prison, sailing at the vanguard of a colossal invasion of Imperial space. Our escape plunged the entirety of the Segmentum Obscurus into war. The conflict that raged for decades, that which you call the First Black Crusade, would eat at our resources as much as it replenished them, stealing as many gains from us as it granted. You know of the purges and sterilizations and recolonizations that followed the war, seeking to sear our existence from the minds of the Imperial faithful. We have forever been the Imperium's dirty little secret, the truth never more pronounced than when the Adeptus Terror moves upon its own citizens, forcing them to forget we ever existed. And there is so much yet to tell of the First Black Crusade, with its years of protracted war against the increasing tides of Imperial resistance. There are those among the legions that regard the devastating conflict as an unmitigated victory, and there are those that see nothing but harrowing loss in the defeats they sustained. The truth, as ever, is in the grey that exists between the black and the white. We did not call it a crusade. To us, it was the opening campaign of the Long War, and even that suggests a level of organisation that could scarcely exist. There was no overall conflict to judge. It broke down into 100 wars between individual fleets and warbands, rampaging their way through the Segmentum. Warlords from the 9 legions sought their own glory. Champions shed blood and raided slaves and offered sacrifices in the myriad names of the pantheon they either willingly served or courted for favour. Cadia was no fortress world in that era, and lacked the defences it boasted in the millennia since. But the Imperium rose against us with inevitability, if not alacrity, and we were forced into a protracted war that devastated both sides. The Black Templars and the Imperial Fists led the war. The vengeance they inflicted upon us wove scars across flesh, armour, and pride that some of us bear to this day, 9,000 years later. Soon I will speak of Ur'alan. Soon I will relate all that transpired in the Tower of Silence, where Abaddon claimed the demon blade, Drak'nayen, that weapon of lies and broken promises. We had to fight for years to reach Ur'alan, and then we had to fight our way through the many madnesses that infested the spire itself. It is but one story in the Black Crusade that unfolded. But if we must pause our interrogation here, then allow me to speak of one final matter. It will grant you a greater understanding of my legion, its noble savagery and its dark codes of honour, and perhaps offer insight into the prisoner you see bound before you now. This was something we shared with all humanity, but I suspect even your inquisitorial masters may not know it ever happened. Let me tell you, Soroka, of how we truly declared the Long War. It was not with the anger of the vengeful spirit's guns, nor with the garbled, shrieking vox transmissions of burning ships and falling outposts. No, I speak of the formal declaration, unknown even among the 9 legions, but for the Ezakarian that gathered at Abaddon's side. You see, even in our vaunted malignancy, we still observed the formalities. War must be declared. Sigismund was chosen for this responsibility. It felt right that he should carry our words back to the Imperium, back to the throne world itself, and it was a solemn conclave that gathered around his corpse. One of the Black Templar ships served as Sigismund's mausoleum. I was one of the four warriors that had carried him there, a pallbearer for our first imperial foe. We had laid him upon one of the command tables in readiness. Abaddon handed me Sigismund's blade, not the sword of the High Marshals, for that was gone in the hands of the surviving Black Templars, but Sigismund's favoured blade, the black sword that had ripped through Abaddon's own armour. My lord bade me carve our declaration along the length of the blade, and I did so with the point of my ritual Jamdara dagger and the acetylene kiss of psychic fire. Once it was done, we lay the cooling blade upon Sigismund's corpse and closed his hands around its hilt. No effort was made to hide the wound that had slain him, nor to mask the mangled ceramite and blood-stained mess of his tabard. The Night King's chin was bathed with bloodfall as well. Abaddon wiped the worst of it from the old warrior's bearded features with a care that would astonish any imperial witness. Abaddon touched the slash across his own face, a mark left by Sigismund's blade, a mark that Abaddon would carry with him down the many centuries to come. He keeps that scar to this day, a reminder of one of the worthiest foes we ever fought, and the moment the Great Crusade truly came to an end. The ship we chose was the light destroyer Valorous Vow, a name I found almost saccharine, but one I had to confess was at least apt. We crewed it with servitors and sacrificial slaves, and ensured its databanks were spooled with all available data of the First Battle of Cadia, from our emergence from the Eye to the breaking of the Black Templars, even down to helm-feed imagery of Abaddon's wounding and Sigismund's death. We held nothing back, pouring in all of the objective, wordless data and hololithic recordings for the Valorous Vow to carry back to Terra. From the bridge of the Vengeful Spirit, we watched the small, swift vessel turn away from the fleet and tear a hole in reality, before plunging into the warp on its long journey home. The distress beacons we had lit aboard her suddenly fell silent, as did the repeating loop of its active transponder. It would declare its name and its burden until its destruction. As we watched it vanish, sucked into the miasmic puncture in the universe, we hoped it would make it to its destination. We would learn many, many years later that the Valorous Vow did indeed reach Terra. The message we sent was delivered to the High Lords themselves, though there's no telling how many heard it beforehand and what they made of the Valorous Vow's appearance. In my own imaginings, I like to picture the High Lord's lackeys boarding the ship in Terra's vessel-choked orbit and moving chamber by chamber, corridor by corridor, every step closer towards revelation. Surely they killed the servitors and thralls we left aboard as crew. So be it. I shed no tears over their fate. But what did those first Imperial souls think when they looked over the carcasses strewn across the command deck, as their weapon barrels cooled and their chainswords idled? What passed through their minds as they approached Sigismund's funereal form, rotting in his armour, yet honoured by those that had slain him? And what did the High Lords themselves make of our declaration? Did one of them cradle the first black sword in her hands? Did one of them touch my inscription with his bare fingers? Did they return Sigismund to his bloodied chapter? Or does he lie on Terra, entombed on the same world as the Emperor he so ardently served? Did they stare in disbelief at the data recorded in the Valorous Vow's archives? And if they gave credence to the footage and the hololithic spools, did they feel any sorrow or regret at not trusting Sigismund in life when they had believed us dead and gone, leaving him as the only sentinel out there beneath the Eye's light? The message Abaddon commanded me to sear into the Black Sword's steel was not long. You might think it would be a boast, the petty glorification of one warlord over another, or a spiteful threat in the wake of our freedom. It was no such thing. The message was a mere three words. I burned them into the black sword with an artisan's care, feeling the weight of history upon my shoulders as I worked. And in my mind's eye, I can see the High Lords of that dim and almost forgotten age, their naked eyes narrowing, their bionic replacement lenses rotating and half-sealing, as they too felt the pressure of history shroud them at the sight of the three words I had carved. You know what those words were, do you not, Inquisitor Soroka? Is that a smile I hear in the faint wetness of your moving mouth? Why, I believe it is. With those three words, we declared the Long War. Words that would in time rise from our throats as the battle cry of the Black Legion. Words that encapsulated all that we had been and all that we had become. We are returned. That was Black Legion by Aaron Dembski Bowden, read by Jonathan Keaton. This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2017.